To Healing Our Brokenness, episode 63, entitled Do What I Tell You. When you think of the word control, what do you think of? Control, as defined by Google, is the power to influence or direct people's behavior or the course of events. And when it comes to control, we often try to control others, and then we end up in situations where others try to control us. And what happens as well is that control can be either intentional or unintentional. With intentional control, one example would be a toxic / personality disorder individual. And those type of individuals, they thrive off of confusion, off of pulling away your self-worth, your identity, your sense of self, trying to create a mini-me, so to speak, and trying to limit your abilities. Those are the different ways they control you, by keeping you down and basically keeping you pressed underneath their thumb, so to speak, where there is no wiggle room, and you end up having a codependent relationship and dependent upon them for your self-worth. And then we have another type of intentional control where it might be an example with children or other adults, but particularly I've seen this in children and I have read and heard about it, where there is something going on, whether there is a divorce in the family or there has been sexual abuse or that type of behavior, an unsafe environment at home. They tend to try to control individuals in order to be able to get attention from them, to show them that something is going on that is not normal. With unintentional control, I know for myself, when I was married to my ex-husband, everything was out of control in my home. And in order for me to gain control, my areas of perfectionism, which is one of the things that I struggle with, it's nowhere near where it was before. However, it is part of my struggle. My perfectionism skyrocketed, and along with that, keeping the house clean and like it was a museum and having the kids dressed perfectly and going to all the different classes and them not looking like anything was wrong or spotless and staying nice and neat and clean, that was part of my unintentional control to keep everything a certain way because everything else in my marriage and in our family was out of control. One thing about unintentional control and intentional control, sometimes the same consequences can be felt. And when it comes to control in general, when someone is trying to control us, or we are trying to control someone, the person who is being controlled is the one that has to have the responsibility of setting up boundaries. And if those boundaries are not set up, what ends up happening is that you end up becoming more and more resentful towards the person who's trying to change you. And this just increases and increases over time, the anger and resentfulness, until the boundaries are set up and we are practicing the one short word that has two letters, the word no. And when we start practicing the word no, when someone's trying to force us to do something that goes against our gifts and talents that God has given us, goes against our brain wiring, goes against our nervous system, goes against our values and standards and our integrity and our faith and what we believe in, if we're not setting up boundaries, we will become resentful. The end result of that so-called force control is becoming resentful over time. There are also situations where we're dealing with people of immaturity and irresponsibility. And when a person has those attributes, the best thing that we can do is try to pray for them. When we try to control them in ways that will force them to do the right thing, once again, they will become resentful of us. That person has to hit rock bottom in order for them to see that what I'm doing right now is not working. Something's not right. I need to figure it out, and I need to figure it out quick, fast, and in a hurry. But what I'm doing currently is not working, and I've got to figure out how to do differently. But trying to control them or getting things set up for them so that they will do better will not, in turn, help that person to do better. They have to get to the place where them staying the same is more painful than them changing. On the other side of that, if we're not becoming resentful of someone trying to control us, we can end up in that dynamic duo dance, so to speak, as my therapist calls it, the dance of becoming a people pleaser / perfectionist and codependent along with that, where we are constantly trying to gain approval from the person who is seeking to control us. And after a while, that gets played out because sometimes it's never going to be enough. And we can never get to the point of being able to accept everyone's approval, especially if they're controlling because they are a toxic individual. It's a lose-lose situation. And so when we end up in this type of dynamic, we are slowly, slowly squashing ourselves and crushing ourselves into the point that we don't know who we are anymore. And so we want to get away from the people-pleasing / perfectionistic area of this control dynamic. But then how do we do that? We do that by slowly gaining our sense of self back, gaining our identity back. constantly reminding ourselves of who we are in Christ, what God says about us, that we are redeemed, that we're loved, that we're chosen, that we've been bought with a price, that we've been forgiven. Remembering his three words that he said on the cross, it is finished, which means that everything has been completed already. We don't have to work for anyone anymore. And issues of control in general, whether they're intentional or unintentional, stream from helplessness, feelings of helplessness, and feelings of insecurity is what a lot of times control comes from. And it's like we start comparing ourselves to other people and figure, okay, well, this person's trying to do this for me, but if I do this the way they want me to do it, they'll accept me. But it's a never losing battle is what it is. It's bondage. And you don't realize that until you're caught up in it and can't get a way to figure out how to get out of it. And that's why the boundaries of basically the word no has to start happening. And it's very hard, especially with women, and we're taking care of kids. And if you're married, you're taking care of your husband and that type of thing. One thing about control is, and as I found for myself and within the last few years, as I've been healing on this journey and gaining my sense of self back, I have noticed that your body gives you clues to whether things are not right. But what happens is we get so busy and so wrapped up in life, we forget to pay attention to our bodies. In the beginning, we feel certain things and we think, I wonder what that is. But after a while, we're so on automation like robots, functioning like robots instead of human beings and being in our community situation and giving ourselves time for self-care and wellness type of things, that we miss out on the signals that our bodies are giving us because they're storing the memories of what's going on in our lives. And I know for myself, when someone is trying to control me for whatever reason, whether they're toxic or not, my body stiffens up like a board. And that's my signal, hey, something is wrong here. And in scriptures, we had King Nebuchadnezzar. He had issues with control and with pride. And he was determined to have Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego under his control. He was determined to have them to worship him. However, they were determined that they were not going to give in. They were only going to worship the one and true God. They were only going to eat the meals that their culture and their covenant with God had provided for them. And so when we look at that story, we think, oh, this was really a test for them. However, the test and the lesson was really for the king. It was not for Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The king thought, by him changing their names to something different, I'm going to strip away their identities. And that's what happens when it comes to control. The beginning part of it is, I'm going to make you a mini-me. I'm going to remove your identity. I'm going to remove your wiring. I'm going to remove the way that you do things. That's the beginning stages. They stood up and they stayed faithful in their integrity. They stayed faithful in their standards and they kept their boundaries. And they said no. They were going to remain faithful to their true, to the one true living God. They were going to remain faithful to their diets. And whether God brought them, pulled them out of their trial, and removed them from it, or if he allowed them to go through and it ended up at death, they still were not going to go against our standards. So when you think about the words, do what I tell you, we can all think about how we can do better as far as trying to get others to do what we want them to do, and in turn falling prey to what other people are trying to get us to do. And remembering, being under control starts off with taking identity away. And once identity starts to get chipped away, our sense of self, our values, our integrity, what makes us us will start to be gone. I hope that something that was said today was instilled in your heart and your mind and just caused you to reflect. And I thank you so much for listening to episode 63, Healing Our Brokenness. Do what I tell you. Until next time. Instead of burn and perish away, in nights never so cold, without his grace, how could I say that I've seen the world from his great love? How could I know what he could love? How would I have seen what he had in store for me if I didn't give up and let him be my valley of grace, where things would change and maybe they'd take up the cross high again? The valley of grace never was the same after he had died. The love that refined. Change. I've seen the light, so.